Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title, Peter.
Peter Gajewski, music director, National Philharmonic.
And we always love catching up with you, and you have a really cool program coming up called The Planets. It's going to be Sunday, February 6th at Strathmore, and then you can see it again Sunday, February 13th at the new Capital One Hall. So, hey, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
All right. What do we got here? You know, NASA footage is got to be some of the most stunning stuff out there. But we're going to combine some instrumental music with the images, right?
Correct. So we're performing two large works. The larger one is Gustav Holst's Planets, which he composed almost exactly 100 years ago. And it's basically one movement to sort of present each planet. And he was almost more guided by the astrology of it rather than the astronomy of it. So he created one movement for each planet, not Pluto, which back then wasn't known and since then has had a checkered history with regard to its status. and actually not Earth also, because again, he was guided more by astrology in a sense than the astronomy. So it's a beautiful piece and actually gives us a great excuse to share the stunning images that NASA has and creates from and of the different planets. I say from because they landed on Mars, right? They flew a helicopter on Mars. So all this will be part of the show, and their imagery will go with the whole piece. And then the other piece is Debussy's La Mer, which translates to the sea. And here the idea was that since Earth is omitted from Holst's Planets, we will do a completely separate show in the first half of the presentation about the Earth. And of course, when you look at the Earth, especially from space, what's striking is the blue of the oceans and so forth. So the Debussy work goes really well with images of the Earth from space. And again, NASA has just incredibly stunning images.
Yeah, I want to get into the images maybe in a little bit, but if you could, I think it would be kind of cool to break it down in my interview and then for the radio too, describing. You know, you're the music expert here. Could you describe sort of musically, you know, instrumentation, how each of the planets sort of like what instruments are used to evoke each of the planets? I guess we'll start with the Earth piece, the Debussy piece.
Right. Well, so the Debussy piece was also composed. I mean, it was composed about 1905. It's an impressionistic piece, and so you literally kind of hear the sounds of the ocean. You know, it's very easy with music to evoke waves or sounds of birds the imagery of the sun rising over the ocean, from sort of soft calmness to greater motion. So that's kind of how that works, and that's a beautiful, beautiful piece that has been played hundreds of times, thousands of times, and actually recorded almost hundreds of times. So that's the Earth part of it. The other planets, in some ways. Holst focuses on the astrology of it all. So, for example, Mars is the bringer of war. So it's a very, very, very kind of a warlike theme with a pounding tagadadum dum ta 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 tagadadum dum ta ta ta. And by the way, if you recognize this rhythm that I just articulated, you know it because of the planet.
Like Imperial March.
and because of Mars. That's where it comes from. It's basically the rhythm that it goes straight through that movement almost for pretty much 6 or 7 minutes or so. And then Venus, of course, is softer imagery and woodwinds and such. Mercury is a lot of fleeting music because Mercury is the winged messenger. So a lot of kind of fast, again, flutes and woodwinds and strings and so forth. Jupiter is perhaps the best well-known music from the planets. Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. So it's kind of a dance-like music with great horn tunes and such. Saturn, the bringer of old age, is slow and with low tones, basses, kind of tired sounding. Uranus, the magician. Orchestras are really good at magical sounds with kind of percussion things and celesta and those kinds of instruments. And finally, Neptune, the mystic, also very much harps and celesta and percussion. And at the end, actually, the very first, I believe, in the history of music, fade out. So as part of the Neptune, there's actually a hidden women's chorus backstage, and they sing again. These it's like space sounding music, steady and repeating, and getting further and further away. And we accomplish that literally by a door backstage being slowly shut. Music just kind of disappears. But when you think of fade outs, I mean, that's something you can think of, I don't know, from early rock and roll and whatnot. There's the fade outs happen. This is, I think, the first time that a fade out was ever used musically.
Wow, who knew? And then
exactly.
And that happens on Neptune, which I guess, I feel poor Pluto, man. Poor, but you know what? I guess Pluto is represented in the silence when the show's over, because it's not part of the planets anymore.
But yeah, although I can tell you an anecdote, which is that that when Pluto was discovered and was initially named a planet, there were some composers that actually composed an extra movement for this piece.
Oh, really? And then it was removed afterwards.
Yeah, and then, but it's not Gustav Holst. It's not as good as the other music. And it's like, it was a gimmick for the time. And right. There it was.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds awesome. So, all right. So then to the visual piece of it then, explain how NASA was tasked with, obviously this music existed first because it's, some classic composition. So the music existed first. So then what, how does it work? NASA was just given this musical, like as a musical bed, and said, hey, find images that fit to each planet.
Yeah, exactly. So, one thing that you don't know about some of these agencies is that they have sometimes massive art sections. And animation sections and education sections. So NASA does indeed have a lot of people who work at this kind of thing. I found out they have like 7 animators on staff.
Wow.
Who knew? Exactly. So they were tasked with creating the imagery. And they have obviously lots of images to choose from, and videos. In some cases, on Mars, they have videos they put together, and they have the ability to animate stuff, to present different things. So they get very, very creative with this, and are able to show the different planets with the different aspects of them. And of course, Saturn's got the rings and the moons, and Jupiter's got moons. And so it's all very beautiful and very interesting. And then also, as part of our presentation, we have some special things going on in the lobby. We have something called Science on a Sphere, which is a 68-inch sphere on which moving images are projected, and also a pre-concert lecture by a real astronaut. So that's actually really cool for kids and for everyone young at heart. And as part of the concert itself, we have a couple of NASA planetary geologists who will be presenting stuff also via video recording. before each of the movements. So they'll be actually engaged in that, you know, about 90 seconds maybe worth of teaching before each piece is played.
Very, very cool. So yeah, I mean, you sort of started, you teed that up perfectly then. So in closing, talk about sort of, I guess, the actual audience experience, you know, if they're sitting there in Strathmore or at Capital One Hall, like explain the layout, like there's going to be a big giant screen, I assume, all of you, how many piece, you know, orchestra on stage, explain the layout.
Right. So there's a massive screen above the stage where the imagery will be projected. And the orchestra underneath, it's, by the way, it's a very, very large orchestra. It's, I didn't count it up, but maybe 90, almost 100 musicians. Because there's some, you know, very, very special instruments. I mentioned harps and celesta and lots of different percussion and the English horn, the contrabassoon. I mean, any instrument you imagine is pretty much is on stage. To evoke all these different and beautiful sounds.
Very, very cool. And it's great to see National Philharmonic still going here. I mean, it's been a crazy couple years, so I'm glad to see you guys still putting on shows. And I know, you know, audiences will be up and down probably for all live theater for a while, but just keep on putting out good content, man.
Thank you. And important thing to say is that we do have a vaccination requirement.
Right.
For everyone, so including kids that are eligible for vaccination. Generally, we don't have kids under age of 5 anyway, so everyone in the audience is vaccinated. Of course, everyone on stage is vaccinated.
And that is for both Strathmore and Capital One Hall, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, it sounds great. Again, everyone, it's The Planets, conducted by Peter Gajewski of National Philharmonic. It's going to be coming to the Strathmore first on Sunday, February 6th. And then you can catch it again at the new Capital One Hall in Tysons on Sunday, February 13th. So, hey, thanks so much for doing this, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jason.